Yo, what is up, guys? So I want to talk about my actual life, and I want to talk about why I am the way I am. It's going to be a couple of videos. I'm here alone at the office, so I can at least do this. So I want to talk about my childhood and my teen years, and then the formative years of my life, and then kind of going to my 20s, and then going to where I'm at now, what I'm thinking about. And I'm doing this basically just because I feel like it. I just feel like uploading something fun and talking about my life. So when I was born a preemie, and basically my lungs weren't developed. There was some oxygen development that wasn't doing very well. Not a lot of oxygen went to my brain. I was born in the middle of May. My birthday was supposed to be in like October, so I was a real preemie and stuff. And I was in an incubator for like a year and a half just to kind of help me develop and stuff. And I was a very sick baby. And basically, my mom got a PhD while I was sick. So that's really cool. And, she worked her butt off. And my dad worked his butt off. And, my mom was kind of a workaholic at the time. She still kind of is. And I get that from her. So, as a small child, I did very bad in school. I did not talk to anyone. I didn't socialize. I had, panic attacks. I had, looking back, I would think that I kind of had this weird moral compass that was like messed up. Like the way how I viewed things was from the Bible. And I personally believed in my heart that if we treated people like how we did in the Old Testament, there would be no crime. That's something that's been with me since I was like 6 or 7, and I'm 37 now, and I still feel that way. So yeah, I would like go around and tell people we need to start, whipping people with cat nine tails and start crucifying people in order to solve crime and bad people and throw them in dog cages and shoot them and a whole bunch of weird stuff, and they would be like, "Oh my gosh." Yeah, I was like 8. I was 6, 7, 8, 9. So yeah, I was an odd little guy. I was an odd little kid. I said a lot of weird stuff that kind of like scared the teachers, and I had no knowledge of humans. I had no degree of being able to talk to people. I didn't really think that what I said was wrong or bad. It was just more of like a grayness. And I didn't read facial expressions at all. I didn't really care. Like if someone cried, I didn't care. If someone was happy, I didn't care. And that's kind of something I've kind of masked throughout my life. I've gotten a lot better, but when I was a little guy, I didn't have any home training when it comes to like, interactions and dealing with people and, conflict and critical thinking. I was more like a caveman. And yeah, that's how I was. I failed almost every class. I did horrible in school. I struggled in school from the get-go. I started school at like 4 years old, and I still did bad. So there were some problems, but during the 90s and being black, ADHD wasn't really a thing yet in the black community. That was a white person thing. And I wasn't hyperactive either. I was more very quiet, very reserved. So because of that, my parents often just kind of said, "Well, he needs to learn more. He needs to do better." And I tried, and I wouldn't understand nothing I was doing. I would actually read something 5 times and not understand anything. I couldn't grasp anything, and that's still a problem for me. That's why I'm on amoxicillin, and then things finally instantly got better. I probably need to be put on some sort of ADHD medicine since like 7 or 8. And it probably would have made my life a lot better when it came to academics. Yeah. But anyway, so I didn't have any friends, and I didn't really talk to anyone until I was like 10. 10 is when things got better. So basically, my parents ended up kind of like talking to the neighborhood kids and begging them to come see me. They were like, "Look, we got snacks, we got toys." This is like the mid to late 90s. And like, "We got video games. Why don't you come by and just talk to our son? Why don't you come by and talk to our son?" And that's the only reason why people came over, was because, my parents kind of like promised them, snacks. That was it. I wasn't talking to anyone in my neighborhood. I didn't even leave my room. I just sat there and was like playing my video games, completely oblivious that there were kids outside. I didn't even consider them at all. I never considered them to be anything because they were like, I saw other kids as being separate from me. I saw that there was like a void or a wall wherever I went. That's kind of how I saw things on an emotional and a social level. So I never really was interested in people. Now, this is a problem that I've been running into lately as a 37-year-old, is that I don't have any interest in other people. I don't really care. I don't have a lot of interest in other people. I don't really want to deal with other people. I generally see people as South Park characters. that's kind of caused me a lot of problems in my personal life. But anyway, so these friends would steal from me. They would steal from me like Christmas presents, and I didn't know this. So they stole from me, and then they ended up, one showed me like adult material at like, I don't know, I was like 9 or something like that. I didn't really care. And I was like, I just didn't care. And this isn't the first time I've seen adult material below 10 years old. The first time I saw adult material was when I was 6. I saw like some like incest slasher film. So anyway, so I saw that. I'll talk about that. But anyway, so that was really fun. And then there was another time where one time one of my quote unquote friends who was 3 years older than me actually ended up like fapping in front of me and stuff. And yeah, it was weird. So he ended up fapping in front of me, took pictures of himself with the family camera without me knowing anything. Then he like left, and then basically me and my family ended up using that same camera for a family vacation the next day over the weekend. And then when the photos were developed at Walgreens, my mom looked at all the family photos and then saw, she knew it wasn't me because I'm not packing like that, obviously. But it was a big shock. It was a big shock because, you know, we had no clue, and I didn't really, I was kind of like devastated in a way, because I was like, wow, why can't I be that big or whatever, because my mom showed me pictures and stuff like that. She was like, is this you, and I'm like, hey, that's not me. Even at like 8 or 9, I knew, like, wait a minute, like, I didn't do anything. And come to find out, he confessed to it. And he was gone for about 3 months, and then he came back. So that was fun. A lot of my friends were kind of, well, they're not really friends, but a lot of them that came over my house stole from me. They fapped in front of me. They showed me adult material. They were getting into fights and stuff and yelling at their parents and throwing knives at their parents. I saw this stuff. I didn't really care. There was one time where one of my quote-unquote friends like had a gun, and he was like so mad. He was arguing with his dad because they would argue a lot, and I heard all this. I didn't really care. And I would be playing video games while they would be arguing and stuff, and he told me, you know what, sometimes I just want to shoot my dad. And I'm like, well, do that in another room. I'm playing video games. So this is me at like 9 or 10, and he like one of the times he like pointed a gun at me. He like pointed a gun at me when I was playing video games, and I knew it. And I was like, well, pull the trigger, I don't care. And he pulled the trigger, and the gun didn't go off, it clicked. So there was no ammunition in there. So that was like fun. And then I just went back home and played more video games. So yeah, so I didn't really think any of this was like wrong or weird. I was just kind of like, yeah, it just kind of happens. But looking back, it was there was some weird stuff going on. All right, this is the end of part one. I'm going to do part two. Okay, bye guys. Okay, I'm back. So that was about a good 10 minutes. I'm going to do another 8 to 10 minutes. I'm going to do another one or whatever. So I really had a hard time socializing. I had a hard time talking to people. I had a hard time doing good in school. I just wasn't doing good as a little kid. And as I was going into, like, you know, 10 or 11, I was doing a lot worse. I actually was getting way worse. And at, like, 13, I actually discovered shock sites. Now, shock sites are not really a thing anymore, as far as I'm concerned. It's more like the dark web. Well, I was on the dark... Okay, I was on the dark web. That stuff didn't really exist yet, at least not to the degree that we know it. But I'm talking about, like, Rotten.com. Yeah, I was on Rotten.com and some other sites that got shut down by the FBI when I was, like, 13 years old. And I was on, like, chat rooms. I was not, I mean, my parents were working, so I was not really, like, looked after well when I was, like, on the internet, especially during the summer. Oh, my gosh, during the summer, it was a mess. But anyway, I remember talking to deviant people when I was, like, 13 on, like, chat rooms. Now, of course, you can probably figure out who these deviant people, these type of deviant people were. Yeah, they were really bad people. And, you know, I had no friends at, like, 12 and 13 years old. So, you know, I'm 12, 13, looking up Pokemon, talking to deviant people online and on Rotten.com all in the same day, you know. So, it's all bad. Rotten.com has been shut down, actually, for years now, like 10, 15 years. You have to go on the Wayback Machine in order to even see that, but don't go on there. Anyway, if you can find some of the images that they showed, some of the videos that they showed, I wouldn't suggest it, and I don't go on stuff like that anymore, but I just kind of went on there because I was curious, and just nosedive downhill. Anyway, 13 years old, 13 years old, 12, 13 years old, I began writing poetry and songs, and that was really cool. I wrote stories based off of Dragon Ball Z and stuff. That was really fun. I loved Dragon Ball Z when I was growing up. I loved wrestling when I was growing up. I loved video games when I was growing up. That's about all I had. I didn't have much of anything. I was taken out of school yet again. I did just poorly in school. And once again, my parents thought that, you know, I needed to learn more. I just needed to try harder. I did, and I failed. I was homeschooled. Not really homeschooled that well. I was given, like, first and second grade books as, like, a starting kit for, like, homeschooling. And it stayed that way for 3 years. So, from, like, 13 to 16, I was learning at a first grade level. And my reading comprehension was, like, kindergarten level. It took me 3 months to read a 100-page book at one point. My reading comprehension was so bad. My attention span was so bad. Everything was so bad. Our parents were just kind of worried about me at that point. See, now they're beginning to worry about me. Okay, fine. I ended up going into therapy at, like, 15 just because I had some problems. I wasn't sleeping good. I had head injuries as a baby. That was starting to manifest into some other symptoms of stuff that I won't go into. And just not doing good as, like, a 15-year-old. Another thing is that I didn't really have any attraction to girls or boys or anything like that when I was growing up. And I just kind of seemed to be kind of, like, not attracted to anything. That has followed me throughout my life. Now I'm a bit more neutral when it comes to stuff, but there is a bad detachment when it comes to, just how I see things, on dating. Like, I just don't have any interest. Even at 13, I never had an interest in getting a girlfriend or being in a relationship or anything like that. And, that has followed me my whole life. And it's been 25 years, and I still don't want to have a girlfriend. And my parents are like, you need to find love. You need to find love. And I've never felt love before in my life. So, for anything. So, I mean, I care for my parents, sure. But that's as far as it goes. As for love, I can try to, like, mask it. I can try to copy it. But other than that, I generally don't know what people are talking about. Falling in love. I've never fallen in love before in my life. As a teenager, I started to, you know, deal with girls. These were specifically broken girls. Now, this is the beginning of, you know, dealing with Rosiah, dealing with, you know, a lot of incest victims, a lot of sexual abuse victims, a lot of, like, you know, the type of parents that will, like, sex traffic their own son and daughter for drug money. I was dealing with their kids, basically. And that's just, that was just the norm. Like, I think there was one time where I, like, talked to, like, two rape victims in one day. Man, I really befriended them. Like weird stuff. Like, it was just weird. It was weird. So it was crazy. But, like, yeah, I have no bearing when it comes to normalcy. I've never met a happy person in my life. I've never met a happy relationship in my life, other than my parents. I've never met a happy girl in my life, ever. Ever. Everyone I know is either a victim of sexual abuse, incest, physical abuse, emotional abuse. One had cancer, one was anorexic. One was sex trafficked by their own family for drug money. All of them were suicidal. All of them had mental problems. A couple of them killed themselves. One was a serial killer, an active serial killer, and, you know, tried to kill me, but I didn't really care. So, like, you know, I attract really messed up people. And I get into these weird situations that don't make any sense. That's really weird. And I think at 15, I was like, wow, these people really need my help. Well, let me see what I can do. And I would try to, like, save them. And it just led into all this chaos. And one thing about my background is that I have been taught and engineered to buy friendships. That's one thing. So when I was growing up, my parents kind of like promised the neighborhood kids like snacks and toys, and like they could play with my toys. Our house had AC and stuff. Just like kind of bribed them in a way, like transactional. It was all transactional. Well, when it came to these girls, I picked up on that habit of, like, making things transactional. Like, hey, I want you to feel good. Here's $20. I want you to, you know, be able to eat. Here's $15. And you could see how this could be a problem later on down the line. And this is kind of what became a problem later on down the line. And, you know, they would, like, you know, say, oh, my gosh, you're the most stable guy I know, and blah, 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 blah. Which, honestly, I was, which was probably a big red flag. So they were in a lot more trouble than what I really realized, and they took me for granted. They all took me for granted. All of them. All of them. All of them took me for granted. And since, you know, my parents never taught me much, well, they didn't teach me much about girls at all, especially my dad. My dad didn't teach me much about girls. My mom didn't teach me much about girls except for how to, like, not like them and how to, like, you know, she's hard on women. So I grew up kind of like having this hardened mentality on women and just being around abused women my whole teenage years. I just have a problem with women. I have a bad problem with women. It's just bad. And it's never gotten better. It's actually gotten worse. All this whole time, I'm talking from 2003 to now. That's 22 years of just brokenness that I just dealing with, like, oh, look, I'm a rape victim. Oh, look, I've been involved with incest. Oh, look, I slept with my brother once. Like, weird situations that don't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. But, all right, we're hitting 10 minutes, so I'm going to sign out, and then I will be back with a third video talking about my college years and teen years and blah, 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 blah. Okay, bye, guys. Okay, I'm back. So, I just talked to a lot of hurt people that really needed therapy. They weren't going to therapy. They weren't on medication. They just kind of depended on me. And I felt like I was doing them a favor, or not really a favor. That's the wrong word. I felt like I was helping them and saving them by like helping them out, you know, financially, and they would spend time with me and stuff, and you know, but they would tell me all their problems. And that's when I began to think maybe I should be a counselor. And I was always interested in psychology. I spent 2001 memorizing parts of symptomology of bipolar disorder and depression, and I still remember the symptoms of bipolar disorder from like 2003, and I still remember the list. It's like 22 symptoms, and I actually ended up diagnosing one of my female friends with bipolar disorder, and I was right. I had some concerns that she was having. She was burning her arms and stuff and couldn't sleep, and I had memorized all the symptoms, and I named them, and she had like 20 symptoms. And I said, I think you might be manic depressive. You need to go to the doctor. And the diagnosis was right. So I felt maybe my calling was, you know, to be a doctor in psychology. My mom wanted me to be a doctor. Since she has a PhD, she wanted me to have a PhD. And I was a loyal soldier, and I felt like, you know, I needed to make mom happy. So maybe I should do that with my life. So I ended up, you know, talking to a lot of broken people, a lot of abuse victims throughout my teenage years. And mind you, I never went outside. So I never went outside. I never talked to anyone. I was basically inside all the time talking to all these broken people and all that type of stuff. And then on the other side, I was on chat rooms talking to even more broken people on mental health boards. And that's all I did. And I was studying serial killers. I was studying cult leaders and mass murderers. Just typical abnormal psychology stuff that I probably 14, 15-year-old shouldn't be studying. But whatever. So you're probably wondering, why wasn't I in school? I was being homeschooled. Well, why was I being homeschooled? Well, whatever. I wasn't really homeschooled that much anyway. So that's how I learned how to read faster, is by studying chat logs. And by being talked to through the chat rooms. That's how I learned to read faster. But it was just reading about, like, rape and abuse and, like, you know, suicide and cutting. Anyway, so I ended up befriending this one girl at my first job I ever got. I'm on my second job I ever got. I was there for 10 years. It was a grocery chain. And she was, she went through a lot. She went through a lot, just like everyone else. She needed a lot of stuff. Her mom was on crack, and her mom tried crack, and her mom was a druggie and stuff like that. Her mom sold her and her sister out for drug money. I didn't like her that much. She came from a, you know, her dad died when she was like 4. So, anyway, it still bothers me a little bit, but anyway, so, she, you know, had car problems, she had drug problems, even at our job, and I was like, look, you need to get help, and I think one time I helped her with, like, her, like, tires, because, you know, her tires were, like, shot. I mean, it was the week of Christmas. And then I think I gave her like $20 to get her tires fixed. And that was it. And that was the beginning of just 5 years of like helping her because because without a transaction, no one was interested in me. No one wanted nothing to do with me. No one was talking to me. No one did anything with me. And that's still true to this day. No one's interested in me unless if I can help them in some way. No one cares. And I have spent my whole 15 years old really being overlooked by everybody, because if I can't create a transaction and stuff, if a deal can't be made, then I have no value. That's what I got out of it. That's what I learned. So, but then it just got to the point where it was a black hole, And I told her, like, look, I can't help you out anymore. She gets mad at me. Okay, fine. And then, you know, she ends up, there was a couple of things that happened I won't discuss. She ended up moving to Kentucky. You know, she ended up moving to Kentucky, Indianapolis, something like that. And I stayed where I live at. Hopefully she's doing good. So yeah. And she was around heroin addicts and all that type of stuff. Just messing up. She even slept with like a known child molester and a drug dealer in the same day. And then she had a pregnancy scare. And then she asked me if I could like take care of her baby. And even back then, as much of a simp I was, I said, I can't do that. I can't do that. And it's funny how she chose dangerous guys over me, which everyone did. Everyone did that. So as I got older, I got my GED at like 21. It took me 3 years to get my GED. And at that time, I was close to 500 pounds. So my weight was really bad. I was really bad. I was like on oxygen and college and stuff. But anyway, I'm getting into a Christian evangelical college. And this college was special because it shamed sexuality. And I had to sign a contract before I got to the campus saying that I would not drink, smoke, have sex, kiss girls. Like, it was very strict. It was very extreme. And, like, no one wore makeup there. Everyone looked like kids, but we were all, like, adults, basically. And I took them very seriously. I took the rules very seriously. In fact, so much so that I scared everyone when I told them that I don't date, I don't do anything, I just sit in my room in the dark. And they said, like, well, you're taking this seriously? And I said, yeah, why aren't you? Then why are you here if you're not going to take them seriously? And I was studying conspiracy theories a lot when I was in college, and I was, like, alone. I had a dorm. I didn't talk to anyone. I didn't really leave my dorm unless if I absolutely had to. There was one time I like overdosed on like some pills because I was trying to kill myself. And I actually did not succeed, but no one like noticed. Like, no one found me. My door was open and someone looked in there and saw me knocked out. They just thought I was sleeping. No, I just overdosed. So, you know, I woke up basically late for class, and then I was like, you know, just drugged out of my mind, and I felt sick. I had to throw up, so I probably had some poisoning. Another thing is when I was in college, that we were kind of like in like a ghetto area because it was once Jewish and it was brown and black. So I went to the gun shop trying to like save up some money so I could like shoot myself. Because I was just like, well, you know, I might as well just kill myself in college. And there was this girl that actually saved me from doing that, actually. She doesn't know this, but we go to the same church. I want to tell her about the story. She was my tutor for our biblical class. And because of that, I was so such a stickler when it came to routine that I did not want her to get upset that I was late if I had bought the gun and shoot myself one day. So I actually postponed my own suicide so that I could meet our schedule to study. I actually postponed my own death so that she and I could study, because I was so strict when it came to tutoring and upholding schedules and building discipline. So it was kind of weird. There's probably some autism going on there. Yeah, there's something going on. But that was years ago, and I grew out of that and stuff. All right, that's the end of this part, and I will see you in the next part. Okay, bye, guys. Okay. So, took me a while to get through college and stuff. It took me 9 years to get my psychology degree. I do have one. I actually was a counselor, an addictions counselor, and it was not the best environment. It was toxic. It was, oh my gosh, it was so bad. Oh my gosh. Once again, I was having problems with paperwork. I was having problems with learning things. I was having problems with understanding how to talk to people. I didn't have any skills. So I had the degree. I had no social skills. I had no critical thinking skills. generally I was just textbook. I would say things out of a textbook type of style, a very tactile style, and the client would pick up on that and say, like, dude, you're like talking straight out of a textbook. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And he said, yes, you are. And I couldn't really say anything because they were right. So I lost my counseling job, went to pizza delivery, and I was a lot more happier. And then, I met some people that were not looking out for my best interest. And basically, once again, I met, two people that I will not name that were just like the same people I was running into it as a teenager. They had come from a lot of dysfunction, a lot of chaos, a lot of abuse I will not go into because it bothers me. And basically, I wanted to help them. I wanted to save them from themselves and stuff, and kind of, bring some stability and discipline in my own life. This was years ago. This was a long time ago. This is about 8-9 years ago. And, it just kind of, the boundaries were blurred. And it just wasn't very good. But it just wasn't the best environment. I wasn't really healthy to develop any friendships. I'm at the point now where I know I cannot afford to have a friendship because of my age and because there's really no point. Everyone I know just needs me, and no one checks up on me, no one says hi to me, no one really says anything unless if there's like a transaction involved, which is what my parents instilled in me, which is what I instill within myself, and now I'm trying to undo it, but because of that, no one wants nothing to do with me. So I'm like, okay, fine. So I just kind of gave up. I gave up on, like, the possibility of me walking down the aisle and marrying someone. I gave up on having kids because I never wanted to have kids in the first place. I gave up on dating because I just don't care. I never had an interest in dating. The thought of that bores me and agitates me because I know I will have to doggone pay. So there's no point and having kids, getting married, dating. I'm not really interested in sex. I'm kind of neutral. I can go with or without it, honestly. I've never had anyone offer me much of anything. And I'm okay with that. Besides recently, and let's see where that goes, I guess. But as for my interaction with women, it is a complete and utter train wreck. It is a train wreck. It has been nothing but sorrow. It has been nothing but depression. It has been nothing but destruction. And I am tired. I am tired. And at first, when I looked up sex dolls and stuff, when I was back in 2018, 2017 and stuff like that, I thought these guys were stupid. I thought these guys were Jeffrey Dahmers. I thought these guys were like just lame. Now I see it. See, it took 7-8.5 years, but now I see it. It is the way. And the fact that I've come a full 180, coming outside of college, never meeting anyone, never having anyone, seeing all these broken girls at my Christian college, be single mothers, mess up their life like everyone else, walk away from the faith. It kind of put a sour taste in my mouth because that's exactly what ended up happening. Some of them kept their faith. A lot of them walked away. Some of them became single mothers. A lot of them walked away from that. After that, how could you let me be a single mother? I'm like, you made that choice. Live and let God, and then they get mad at God, and then they just give up. They give up. They give up on church. They give up on everything. All because of their choices. I've seen it firsthand. Christian simps, all that. I've seen all of that. excuse me, and I'm sitting here alone in the dark before my channel blows up, before my channel even exists, before the site exists. I'm sitting here like, what am I going to do with my life? You know, and I was close to 500 pounds. I was, you know, on oxygen, and I just sat there and said, I'm either going to die or I'm going to get better. And I had heart failure at 28. So I decided that was the moment I needed to get my crap together. I want to take my life more seriously. I got weight loss surgery. I lost like 220 pounds. I still need to lose some weight. I'm like 330 now, but I was close to 500. I was around 500 pounds. And I got off the oxygen. I got off disability. My back got better. There was a time where I had to sit down just to do dishes. And because I couldn't stand up that long, my back would go numb. I would just have charred horses every night from like sleeping on the wrong side. It was horrible. I couldn't walk. It was horrible. I'd use electric carts over at 28 years old. It was horrible. It was horrible. But I fixed myself. I got off of unemployment and disability, all that bull crap. And now I'm working, I got two jobs. But now I'm at the point where I am completely drained from humans. And I am losing more and more of myself on an empathetic and a compassionate level. I just don't care about people. I'm not interested in people. I don't care. I've always have had a problem with being interested in other people and, you know, caring a little bit. I care about some things. You know, I don't want people to die around me. Like, oh, my beard is dying. It's not that I'm not that cold, but there is a lacking, like in like morality, or when it comes to not really morality, but when it comes to like just being interested in people and you know, empathizing. Like, I've never done that for anyone, like, ever in my life, even at 5 and 6 years old. And I would tell my parents this, and they would just think I was being dramatic. They didn't take me seriously. Well, now I'm 37, and I'm still the exact same way I was when I was 6. And now they're kind of getting concerned over now, like now, like this week now. And I'm like, it's too late. You should have dealt with this in 94. You should have dealt with this in 2001. And you didn't. You waited all this time, and you thought I was playing games with everyone, and now you have a monster. Oh, well. So, I don't know. I guess the end game for me is to serve God and die and do NoFap. I think that's probably the only way, getting me a sex doll. And, you know, that's probably the only thing I got left. I know it's going to sound bad, but I never want anyone to say hi to me ever again. If I can get to that point where no one ever talks to me, no one ever wants anything from me, no one ever asks me for anything, no one ever begs me for anything, no one ever wants to hug me. If I can just get to that level, I will be happy. I will truly be happy. And then after that, once it's my time to leave this earth, I will gladly go. Because I don't care about living or dying. I care about my eternity. That's what I care about. And I want to be on the right side of eternity. And yeah, that is it. I hope you guys like this little rant of mine. This is probably a good 40 minutes of me just rambling. But it was coherent rambling. So that's it. All right, I'm going to take this to the editing room, and I'm going to see what I'm going to do with this. Okay, bye, guys.